Get up there thanking God, amen, for his blessings. And spent about 1 million years sitting around the throne of God. Just saying, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, amen. Say, ain't God going to get tired of hearing that? Sure he will, just whenever he gets thanked enough, amen. I just don't know how long it's going to take to get that accomplished. Amen. But I thank God for saving my soul. Boy, I tell you, I never forget the night I bowed an old rugged cross, spiritually speaking, and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save my soul. Amen. I never forget that day. Boy, I tell you, it's special. Amen. And it'll be special to you. And thank God, amen, for what he's done for me and has saved my soul. Why don't you take your Bibles this morning, the book of Isaiah, chapter number 34. Isaiah, chapter number 34 will be a real simple message this morning. And I'm not a very deep preacher, amen. I get too deep, I'm afraid I'm going to drown. Amen. But no, I try to keep things practical. Amen. I believe in this. You know, the Lord did that. God would take all that stuff and, amen, and find some worldly thing and preach about it. Amen. Like a mustard seed. Amen. And try to get a lesson across on something like that. God takes something you can understand and realize and know about and teach you a spiritual lesson out of it. And so I try to keep things just simple. Amen. Just had to excuse me this morning. I've been kind of sick last few days. I'm thinking about to get it whooped, but I still got a little bit of cough hanging around, a little something down in my throat there. So God will help me. We'll get this message out. But I want to look at Isaiah chapter 34 and just read a couple of verses this morning and preach this message. I believe God stirred my heart with it last night, and I pray that God will get it in your heart. Amen. Now listen to me. If you're lost this morning, there's no other message you need to hear than the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins. Amen. That's what you need to know this morning. You don't need no theology. Amen. You don't need to know how to live in this old wicked world. Amen. You don't need to know anything this morning save Jesus Christ and him crucified. Amen. That's what you need this morning. And if you're lost, I pray and ask you, listen, don't turn the Lord away. Amen. Let the Holy Ghost of God speak to your heart this morning. And listen, I'm still old-fashioned preacher. Amen. I still believe people get saved. Amen. I preach like I believe people are going to get saved. I give invitations like I believe people's going to get saved. Amen. And I still believe God's in the saving business. So if you're lost this morning and happen to walk in this building, amen, maybe you're even a member here, just playing the church game. You say that's not going to happen. Sure it does. Amen. I guarantee you in the last 3 or 4 months, we've had 2 of them down in our church, members of our church, amen, that got saved by the grace of God, realized they'd never been saved, and just been playing church and living on mom and daddy's religion, amen, and going on what the preacher had said and never accepted Christ as their Savior, never been washed in that blood. Thank God they got in. Amen. I pray you'll do that this morning if you're lost. And those of you who are saved by the grace of God, maybe you get something to help you, amen. Isaiah 34, verse number 5, the Bible says this, "For my sword shall be bathed in heaven. Behold, it shall come down upon Idumea and upon the people of my curse to judgment. The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. It is made fat with fatness, and with the blood of lambs and goats, with the fat of kidneys of rams, for the Lord hath the sacrifice in Bozrah, and a great slaughter in the land of Idumea." Amen. Let's pray. Father, we have come to you this morning in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord God, I'm helpless without you. Lord, I pray for the help of God in the preaching of this message. I pray that you'd help me to preach, Lord God, with the power of God. I ask you, Father, to take this body of mine and use it for your glory and honor this morning. Get me out of the way, Lord, and hide me behind the cross in this word of God. And Lord, I pray that we can see God move in our service. Father, manifest yourself here, I ask. Lord God, I don't want to meet around some message. Lord, I don't want to meet around some special preacher on some special meeting. But Lord, I want to meet around you. Father, if you get in this thing, we can go out of here shouting a victory. God, we can get what you want us to have. We can get help, sinners get saved, saints get encouraged. But Lord God, if you leave it up to me, we'll go away empty. We'll go away from here, God, asking ourselves why we even came. So I pray, Lord, you'd do something that I can't do. I'm offering myself unto you, Father, as a willing vessel. Not only, Lord, making myself available for you to use this morning, but God, I'm begging you to use us. God, if you could just do something with this body of mine to get some glory out of it, I'd sure be thankful. And I'd praise you for it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I want to look at a few things. This verse is here, these couple verses, you know, you probably read this many times and seen it. We've got it actually on our sign. We used to have a camp meeting in September in our home church, and we put a banner up behind the pulpit, and that's what's on our banner is the sword of the Lord is filled with blood. Amen? The sword of the Lord is filled with blood. That's what I want to preach on this morning. You see, we got a Christianity and we got a religion around this world, amen, that don't want preaching on the blood. Amen. They don't want preaching on the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't mention that old blood, amen. And don't mention don't preach about hell. Don't preach about all this and don't preach about that. But listen, I'm telling you, we've got a bloody book, amen. We've got a bloody religion. That's just the facts of the matter. I mean, we've got a God that's a God of war, amen. Listen, I'm telling you, you know what we should have done? If we wanted to declare war, amen, on the Muslims and the terrorists, you know what we should have done? What we should have done is loaded every one of them up, amen, and sent them right back over to Iraq and then dropped the nuclear bomb on the whole bunch. You say that's not Christianity. Sure it is. Read your Old Testament Bible, amen. Find out how God got the children of Israel into the promised land. He went in there and wiped them all out, amen. Men, women, children, the whole bunch. Said, kill every one of them, amen. Can't leave no remnant behind. We got a bloody book. All throughout the Word of God, we find blood after blood after blood after blood after blood. Amen. That's what I want to preach on this morning, is this old King James Bible being filled with blood. Amen. It's just an old bloody book. That's why a lot of folks don't want it. Amen. They don't want an old bloody religion. They don't want an old... Hey, can I tell you something this morning? If you don't have a bloody religion, you know what you've got? All you've got is religion, amen. Amen. Without a bloody religion, all you've got is religion. And religion, all it's fit for is to take you to hell, amen. Might take you to purgatory. We found out it does exist. It's just up the road a little piece, amen. We come in, seen that sign, said Purgatory Road and Purgatory Chisholm or something other like that on that sign. I said, man, I thought I was right all these years. There is a purgatory. Amen. Lord, have mercy. And then we seen some funny looking cloud up there. And I said, that's got to be God looking over purgatory, seeing who's going to get out next. Amen. Amen. But I'm telling you. You find all kinds of things running around this country of ours. In Ephesians 6 and verse 17, the Bible says to take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Amen. The Bible says that it's sharper than any two-edged sword. Amen. Piercing even to the dividing asunder of both soul and spirit. That's our book. That's our old King James Bible this morning. Amen. Hey, listen, we got churches all around that want to claim that they're Bible believers. They want to claim that they love God. They want to claim that they're saved, but yet they don't want the blood of God. Amen. They don't want the blood that this book talks about. They don't want the blood that's filled from cover to cover. Amen. Listen, I'm persuaded tonight in a spiritual sense that if you open up this book and begin to squeeze and wring the pages, hey, listen, spiritually speaking, you can get gallons upon gallons upon gallons of blood out of this book. We got a bloody book this morning. Got a bloody book. I've got a bloody religion. And I'm not going to change it for nobody. Amen? I'm not going to change it for nothing. I want to take you through the Bible this morning and show you some of the blood that we find in the Word of God. And the first thing I want you to understand as studying your Bible, amen, and looking for blood in the Bible, the first thing you'll find, the very first blood you find shows up in the Bible is the blood of sin. The blood of sin, amen. You find there in the Garden of Eden when Adam and Eve was placed there in that place. Hey, listen, I believe when God performed the surgery and brought that woman out of his side, I don't even believe Adam bled, amen. You know why? Because the Bible said without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Shedding of blood has something to do with sin, and there was no sin, amen. I don't believe Adam even bled when God done the surgery. Not only that, it was God doing the surgery, amen. I believe he knows what he's doing. But you'll find in that Genesis there as Adam and Eve begin to live their life in that Garden of Eden there, and they begin to go about their daily business, and God had planted that tree there in that garden, amen, and said, listen, you can have all the rest of this stuff out here. You can do what you want to do with this garden. There's only one commandment I give you, and that's do not eat of that fruit right there. What Adam and Eve do? Bible said Eve being deceived, but Adam was in the transgression, amen, and they eat of that forbidden fruit. And when they eat of that fruit, they plunge all humanity off into sin. Everyone, amen, was born into sin from that day forward. And the Bible says that when that sin came there and took place, amen, you know what they did? God said, listen, they went down there and they sewed fig leaves together, amen. They got them a dose of religion is what they did, tried to cover up their sin, amen. They got them a little feel good, amen, help me out, happy time, amen, type religion. And they got them some church membership, amen. They got them some baptism. They got all this bunch of junk, try to cover up their sin. But when God Almighty showed up, amen, God said, listen, that ain't going to cut it. We ain't going to cover up nothing around here. Go down there and get me a little lamb, amen. They skipped that thing. I'm telling you, you're not going to skin an animal without blood being shed, amen. God said sin requires blood. You find that blood of sin pass right on down, friend, into me and you. The Bible says that all is sin to come short of the glory of God, amen. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that doeth good. There's none that seeketh after God. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. You say, why is that, preacher? It ain't because you're a bad person. See, we got people around this world thinking being a sinner means is somehow or another related to what you have committed against God. Being a sinner has absolutely nothing to do with what you did. All being a sinner has to do with is the fact you was born on the face of this earth, amen. That makes you a sinner. You don't have to be a drunk to be a sinner. You don't have to be a dope head to be a sinner, amen. You don't have to be some harlot. You don't have to be some whoremonger. You don't have to be some thief, amen. You don't have to be some wicked devil worshiper, amen. You don't have to do anything to be a sinner except be born into this world. It's that blood that flows in your veins, amen. That blood is the very thing that makes you wicked and ungodly. That blood's the very thing that makes you a sinner. You say, well, I didn't ask for that. I didn't either, amen. But you got it anyhow. Amen. You just well figure out the best way to deal with it and go on for the glory of God. Because I'm telling you right now this morning, the fact remains, you are a sinner. The first blood we find is that blood of sin. Amen. The blood of sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. There's none righteous. No, not one. Not a one of us. Listen, the Bible says here in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, wherefore as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You see where that sin came from? One man. Adam. Adam. I know we want to pick on Eve, amen. But can I, listen, you won't be biblical. You'll get off Eve's back and leave her alone and get on Adam. That's right. Amen. The biblical standard is it's Adam's fault. Because God holds a man accountable, amen, just like he holds you accountable for your household. God held Adam accountable for his household. Besides all that, the Bible says Eve was deceived. Adam was in the transgression because Adam knew what he was doing, amen. Adam's a great picture of Jesus Christ because he loved his bride so much, amen, that he would plunge right headlong into sin to save his bride. It's not Eve's fault, it's Adam's fault. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world. We see that blood of sin. That blood of sin, friend, has passed right on down into me and you. Amen. It probably ain't that same way up here. If you want to get them riled up down south, you get down there in their face and look at them and tell them, say, your granny was a wicked sinner. Well, bless God, that's the way Granny did it. Well, Granny's a sinner. So why is that? Because she was born. We're all sinners. We're all sinners in the eyes of God, amen. It's not a matter of whether you stand up to my standards, amen. It's not a whether, a matter of fact, of how your life measures up to my life and my life measures up to your life. It's a matter of fact, it's in your blood that you're a sinner. All of sin comes short of the glory of God. We're never going to get nobody to get saved until they finally get a hold of the fact of what sin is and what being a sinner is all about. And it has absolutely nothing to do with the way you live your life. You understand that? You can get up there every morning. You can get up in the morning and go to your job and be the best worker you can and be the best worker that company's got. You can be there every day for 50 or 60 years, faithful, never miss a day, never show up late, work hard, work over, work late, get in early. You can do all that, pay your bills, love your family, raise your kids, and die and go to hell because you are a sinner. It's not anything to do with the way you live your life. Because the blood that's flowing through your veins makes you a sinner. People will get in. I preach in jails a lot down at home. Get in there and tell them. And they think, yeah, I'm a sinner because I done this or I done that. No, you're a sinner because that's just who you are. And you're going to have to come to grips with that this morning, that you are a sinner. I'm going to tell you right now, you're either a sinner on your way to hell or you're a sinner saved by grace. Yeah. Hey. Amen. I know preachers. Some preachers don't believe that. Some preachers say, well, I'm not a sinner anymore, amen. And that's most of that crowd's the same ones that don't believe you have to repent after salvation either. Amen. They'll find out one of these days how wrong they are. Yeah, you are a sinner, amen. That's why you have to repent. Because you break fellowship with God, because you're still a sinner. You're just a sinner saved by grace if you're saved. Or you're a sinner going to hell. But that blood of sin reaches every one of us. Our little darlings, amen, we bring them home from the hospital and say, oh, ain't they just so cute? Yeah, and they're wicked as the devil himself. Amen. I'm telling you the truth, amen. They're wicked and as ungodly, amen. And if that pretty little old baby, if that little old boy or that little old girl don't get saved by the grace of God, amen, if they grow up and they live and let that blood of sin rule their lives, they'll turn out to be as wicked as the devil himself and die and go to the same exact eternal home, amen. Die and go to hell. Because they're sinners. Amen, they're sinners. So how do you get rid of that sin, preacher? Well, the Bible said, without shedding of blood, Hebrews 9:22, without shedding of blood, there is no remission. There is no remission of sin. Genesis 3, how did God get rid of sin? Shed some blood. You know how you're going to get rid of your sin? It's going to require some bloodshed. That brings us up to the next one, amen? The next blood we find in this Bible is the blood of Jesus Christ. It's God's own blood. God Himself took upon Himself the form of man, took upon Himself a body, and came to this earth, amen, to live a sinless, perfect life, to satisfy all the needs of the law, to satisfy a holy, righteous God, and went to the cross and gave His life and shed His blood that you could have an opportunity to be saved.
Thank you, Lord.
It's not the cross that saves anybody. You understand that? All that cross is two chunks of wood nailed together. It's not the cross. It's not the hill of Golgotha. It's not that hall of Praetorian. It's not the crown of thorns. It's not the cat of nine tails. It's that blood.
Amen.
That blood's what washed your sins away. That blood's what saved your soul. Amen. That blood is the only hope you have. It's all that blood. It ain't nothing to do with none of the rest of that. It's all about the blood. All about that blood. Jesus Christ stood there on that old cross and that blood run down His face and that blood run out of His side and that blood run out His body and poured out down all over that ground, amen, to take away the sin of this old world. All throughout that Bible, the only way you ever get rid of sin is through blood. From that very time in Genesis 3:21 all the way up to the cross at Calvary, God said, kill this, kill that, kill this, kill that. Take that blood, put it on your ears, put it on your thumbs, put it on your big toe. Take that blood, put it on the doorpost, put it on the lintel. Take that blood and put it in the basin. Take that blood, take that blood, take that blood, amen. But I had one thing to say this morning is take that blood, take that blood, take that blood, amen. He said, when I see the blood, I'll pass by. God came into Egypt's land that day, wasn't looking for no little old lamb, amen. Wasn't looking for no little light turned on, amen. Wasn't looking for no little old symbol of religion, amen. He was looking for the blood. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Take the blood. Take the blood. Take the blood. You can take all the church membership you want to. There ain't no shedding of blood there. You can take all that baptismal pool you want to. Ain't no shedding of blood there, amen. You can take all them good works you want to. Ain't no shedding of blood there. You better take the blood of Jesus Christ. That blood that Jesus shed on that cross was blood enough. Hey, that blood will save your soul. Amen, that blood is the one that wanted to take an old sinner, amen. Take a man dying and going to hell and take him up out of that miry clay of sin. Take him up out of there and establish his ways on his way to heaven, amen. And give him a new home in heaven. It's the blood that saves. It's the blood. It's all about the blood, amen. The blood will save your soul. You're not going to get saved any other way. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen, it's through the blood of Jesus Christ. Listen, friend, there's been a payment made for your sins this morning. It's the blood of Christ. I wonder if you'll accept that payment. I wonder if you'll accept the payment. Or if you'll just reject it and turn it away. Amen? It's blood enough to save you. It's saving blood. Let me say yes, it's sanctifying blood. Amen. It's, that blood will sanctify you. That blood, boy, I'm telling you, you get saved by the grace of God. And that blood gets to flowing all over your soul. Amen. Not only will it save you from a devil's hell. Not only will it save you from that mess. But it will sanctify you. Set you apart. Make you fit for the master's use. Amen. Now that I got saved, I come to that old-fashioned altar and I bow to my face before God and I ask God to forgive me and save me, amen, and wash me in that blood of Jesus Christ. And hey, listen, not only did that blood flow over my soul, amen, and wash all my sins away and take that stuff out of the way, but listen, that blood sanctified me, set me apart for the master's use, amen, made it to where I'd be fit for God to use, fit for God to serve, amen. Make me fit for His use. Without the blood of Jesus Christ, you ain't no use to God. Amen. That blood will take that old dope dealer, amen, and make him peddle the gospel. Amen. Hey, that blood will take that old dope pusher, amen, instead of going to these little old kids and asking them to try to get on drugs and get hooked on this and get hooked on that. Hey, that old blood will make them come and preach the gospel, amen. Make them come and pass out tracts. Make them come and get them hooked on gospel music, amen, and serving God. Hey, it'll sanctify you, amen. It'll sanctify you. Set you apart, make you fit for the master's use. Oh, that blood will sanctify you. Not only that blood will save you, that blood will sanctify you, but it's secure in blood. Yeah, it's secure in blood. Amen. I'm telling you, hey, listen. Hey, I got washed in that blood December 9th, 1995, and that blood's still flowing over my soul this morning. Amen. If God Almighty looked at me this morning, He'd see the blood. Hey, no matter what happens down the road, no matter where I go, amen, God's always going to see the blood. It's going to save me all the way to the end. Securing blood. Hey, man, you get that stuff on you and it won't come off. Ajax won't take it off, amen. We got an old guy down our way, amen. Friend of mine used to work for him. He's got an old farm. Man, all it is just old red clay mud. And I guarantee you, I can see somebody in town tell you this. Say they've been to Fred Chester's. Because that stuff will get on. I don't care what you use to wash your car, amen. If it ain't something that'll take your paint plumb off, it ain't taking that mud off. It won't come off. Amen. Old Gary Duty wrote that song about that blood of Jesus Christ and said, hey, look, hey, Daddy, can you look and see if the blood's still there? And he said, it just won't wash away. Amen. It just won't wash away. Nothing you do is going to get rid of it. It's always going to be right there. Some crowd down south, amen, took that song and perverted that thing. Amen. Instead of saying that it just won't wash away, they changed the words around, tried to get by with making a little money off of Gary Duty's song, and said that it won't just wash away. Now, if I tell you that it won't just wash away, that means not only will it wash away, but it'll do something else too. But if I tell you it just won't wash away, that means no matter what you do, it's still going to be there. You see that little, just same two words, just rearranged them. Changed the whole meaning of that song. Amen? Bunch of heretics, if you ask me. Because see, everybody down our way sings that song, but they all got it off that group that changed it around. I'm telling you, listen to me. There's nothing in this world to take that blood off your soul. There, hey, you can lay down and sleep. Peace of God in your heart, amen. And know of a surety without a doubt, heaven is your home. That blood is secure. Amen, it's secure. And listen, all them sins, you in here lost this morning, you thank glory to God, I can't get in. Hey, all them sins, that river of blood, God has dumped multitudes and multitudes of sins. Amen. He poured that old harlot Rahab's sins off in there. Amen. He poured old wicked Saul's sins off in there. Amen. He poured old drunk Billy Sunday's sins off in there. Amen. He poured old biker Charles Spurgeon or David Spurgeon's sin off in there. Amen. He poured old Bob Nagowski's sin off in there. He poured old Jimmy sin off in there. He poured my sin off in there. He poured your sin off in there. But I'm telling you this morning, that blood's just as pure, amen, as it ever has. And there's still room for your sin. Hey, you can jump right in this morning and none of that sin rub off on you. Praise God. Amen. See, I jumped in the blood of Jesus that morning and I didn't get none of Billy Sunday's sin. None of that stuff rubbed off on me, amen. I come out just pure as snow. I'm talking about a secure blood. Jesus Christ took that blood he shed, took that thing up there to that mercy seat of God and poured it out on the mercy seat. Said, my blood shed for that sin. Boy, that old accuser come by one of these days and look at one of us, amen, and say, you know, old so-and-so right there. What about this, God? You remember when he done this? And God said, all I remember is the blood. All I see is the blood, devil. I don't know what you're talking about. I see blood. That's what I see. You're going to stand there at that judgment. God say, hey, what about this? And Jesus said, nah, Father, hang on, man. I shed my blood for that one. That one's mine. And he'll say, come on in. Come on in. Securing blood, amen. I'd hate to think I had a salvation I couldn't trust to keep me saved. Amen? We just hillbillies. We think about things real simple down south. Man, we don't overthink nothing. So let me just give it to you in hillbilly language. If that blood cannot keep you saved, then why in the world did you even trust it to start with? I mean, now come on. If that blood can take a wretched, vile and ungodly sinner and make them white as snow and save their soul, do you not think that blood can keep them saved? Amen? I mean, that's deep theology, ain't it? I'm telling you, it's securing blood. That blood of Jesus. We see in the Word of God, we see the blood of sin. We see the blood of Jesus. And we see the blood of some just men. Some just men. Look here in the book of Acts, chapter number 22. In the book of Acts, chapter number 22, and it's not the only place you'll find this recorded, but just one that God led me to use as an example in this message. But in Acts, chapter 22, verse number 20, and when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I also was standing by and consenting unto his death and kept the raiment of them that slew him. That's Paul speaking about when Stephen was stoned to death. They stoned Stephen calling on God. They stoned Stephen while he looked up steadfastly toward heaven and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Only time you'll find him after he left here standing is right there. Rest of the time you find him seated. It's the blood of some just men. Thy martyr, Stephen. You get that Fox's Book of Martyr and read that thing. Find out what people went through for you sat here this morning. Hey man, you get off out here in this world next week and you're going to live a lackadaisical life of a Christian, amen? You're going to just play and dabble in church and you're just going to think it's a big game and ain't nothing serious about it, amen. When I feel like it, I'll read my Bible. When I feel like it, I'll pray. When I feel like it, I'll witness. When I feel like it, I'll go to church. Hey, listen, you better feel like it a little more often, amen, because people shed their blood for you to have that right. No, John the Baptist beheaded. Cut his head right off. Shed his blood. Amen. People are dying all around this world for us to have the rights to be here. I thought about all those men. Fox's Book of Martyr talked about some of those men, and take them and put a cord around, tie them to a stake, and put a cord around their neck. And that guy would stand behind it and just slowly pull on that cord until he couldn't breathe no more. And he wouldn't choke them so bad that they would die. No, that'd be too easy. What they would do is they would pull that cord and choke them until he lost enough wind to pass out. And then while he was passed out, they'd light the fire. And he'd wake up to the flames of being burned alive. Amen? So why'd that happen? Because of that book. Because of our God. Amen? This Bible's full of men who give their life for our freedoms. Give their life for the right for us to worship the Lord. Contrary to popular belief, the pilgrims didn't come over here to seek a freedom from England. Government-wise. You know why they come over here and establish this country? So they could worship God. So they could get away from that Catholic persecution that was killing them and trying to steal their Bible from them. They wanted a land where they could freely worship God. What did they find when they got over here? They stepped on this land and they thought, glory be to God. We have got it made now. We've got a land where we can have our Bible. We've got a land where we can worship Almighty God. And they looked around and out of the bushes was them glowing eyeballs of them wild heathen Indians. Amen. And blood's been shed for years and years and years and years. Multitudes of people give their lives. Some even on this very soil that we could have the freedoms we've got this morning. Amen? They give it all through them wars. They given it tonight or this morning over there in Iraq. Amen? If you don't like that war, that's your problem. Amen? You've got a right to feel ever how you want to feel. But can I tell you something? Them men that are over there dying, they don't have a choice. They're doing their duty. You want to protest? Go to Washington and protest. Got a bunch of crowd down in Arkansas wants to go to these funerals and protest. Call themselves Baptists. Amen. They're devils. That's what they are. They're stinking devils. Going to go down here to this boy's funeral. Tell his mom and daddy, amen, that God killed that boy because he was over there fighting that war in Iraq. They ain't even saved. I'm telling you, I thank God for men to give their lives, put their lives on the line. I had the privilege of being in Lexington, Kentucky. And I preached a message, and in that message I mentioned Pearl Harbor. A little short guy about this tall walked up to me, real old fella, and he stuck his hand out and looked at me and he said, "When you was preaching," said, "you mentioned Pearl Harbor." And instantly I knew there's something was different about this fella. And I said, "Yes, sir, I did." And he said, "I just wanted you to know I was there." And I'm telling you, you don't understand how that makes you feel. Chills run up my back as I stuck my hand out. And I grabbed that man's hand and I shook his hand. And I said, "I just want to say thank you. I said, I just want you to know that I thank you." Amen? I took my family down to Washington, D.C. back in August. We went down through there, and I was praying. I'm telling you, I told you in Sunday school, sometimes my fuse gets real short. And I was praying as we went toward that Vietnam wall, and all those names on that wall, men that gave their lives for my freedom. And I said, "Lord God, don't let there be no sap-headed Muslim down here making a mockery." I said, "Because I'll sin." And I mean, you could just feel the presence. You walk down that place, walk in front of that wall with all them names on it. I grabbed that boy of mine and I told him, I said, "You see them names, boy?" I said, "Them men gave their life for you so you could have freedom to do whatever you want to do in this country." And I said, "That's exactly the reason." I said, "When you hear that national anthem played," I said, "that's why I make you stop and pay respect to my flag." I said, "It's because of all these names right here on this wall." I said, "Don't you dare disrespect my country and my flag." He said, "Daddy, you're embarrassing me." I said, "I don't care." And I said it where everybody else around me could hear it. You know why? Because they gave their lives for my freedom. They shed their blood that I could worship Him. They shed their blood so that I could go all over this country preaching the gospel and not have to worry about nobody putting me in jail. Not have to worry about nobody killing me, amen? I don't worry about somebody walking in them doors this morning and blowing my brains out for preaching about Jesus. Why? Because men gave their lives. Men have already died so I could have His freedom. And we take it so lightly. We just cast it aside like it ain't no big deal. We see the blood of some just men. And then last of all, we see the blood of judgment. We see the blood of judgment. 1 Peter chapter number 4. In 1 Peter chapter number 4, verse number 17, the Bible says this. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved. You see that word scarcely? If the righteous, that's speaking about us who are saved, that had the righteousness of Christ imputed to us, if we scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? We're going to face judgment. God says judgment must begin at the house of God. We live in a wicked world. You understand that? We live in a wicked society. When they let sodomites rule this place. Amen. Let me give you a little tidbit. Your little local Walmart, they're going to donate, 5%? Friday and Saturday after Thanksgiving, all online sales, 5% of that's going to be donated to the homosexuals. I encourage you to boycott them. I ain't giving them my money. See, why is that? Because that's wicked and ungodly. We live in a wicked world. We live in an ungodly society. Not only these sodomites running around and trying to take over our country, we elected the first Muslim to Congress. Did you know that? In November, we elected the first Muslim to Congress. I believe it was in Indiana or somewhere. I forget what state he come from. You want me to tell you what? America's on her way out. It won't be long, this country will be no more. We live in a wicked and ungodly society where abortions take place on every hand. And we ain't even satisfied with killing that baby before it's born. Amen. When it just first gets conceived, we've gone so far to kill it right before it comes out of the womb. And they holler it ain't murder because it ain't out of the womb. You know why it ain't out of the womb? They take that baby and they take that scissors and shove it right up in the back of that kid's skull, make a hole and stick it like a little mini vacuum cleaner in there and suck his brains out, amen. That's the only reason it ain't alive when it comes out. Wicked, ungodly society. But can I tell you something? We want God to judge all this stuff. We want God to judge sin. We want God to judge America. We want God to judge the wicked. We want God to judge the Muslims. We want God to judge the sodomites. Amen. We want God to judge the murderers. We want God to judge these drug heads that's getting our kids hooked on drugs. Hey, listen, I'm telling you, God's going to start right here. Judgment comes, He's going to start right here. That's what He said, Peter. He said judgment's going to begin at the house of God. You know, the first place God's going to come to is you save people. See, why is that? Because I believe it's our fault this country's the way it is. Amen. I believe we didn't stand up for what God believed in. Some folks did, but most of them didn't. And that's why we let them out on my hair or kick our Bible out of school. That's why she got to kick her prayer out of school. That's why the homosexuals is taking over, amen. That's why the abortionist crowd's taking over, amen. That's why sin's running rampant in this country. It's because God's people took a compromising stand and decided to keep their mouth shut. God's going to start His judgment with us. Listen, that rapture takes place. We're all going out of here. Where are we going? Judgment seat of Christ. Say, oh, we're going to heaven. We're going to shut the house down. Glory be to God. Yeah, we are. We're going to make one little slight detour before we get there to the judgment seat of Christ. And you're going to stand there and you're going to look your Savior right in His eyeball. And you're going to answer to Him why you lived the way you lived, good or bad. And it's going to be tried by fire. And there are going to be some folks left standing in the ashes. Ain't got nothing. Ain't got nothing but shame. That's going to be a terrible day. I'm not looking forward to it. I'm not. I don't know what, maybe God might just put a billboard up behind Him and say, look here, I see all these names right here. All these is people that's in heaven because of you. And about the time you start to shout, He'll pop another billboard up with a big old huge list of names. Say, you know what all these are? These all people went to hell because you wouldn't tell them about Jesus. You say, that ain't going to happen. You better think again. I got a friend of mine back home in our church right now. Come to me one day with tears running down his face. He said, Keith, I never witnessed to him. I said, what are you talking about? He said, my neighbor died of a drug overdose. He said, I knew he was just an old drunkie and a drunk and a dope head. He said, he lived right behind me. And I never told him about Jesus. And he said, when I heard he had died, he said, I knew he went to hell. And he said, I thought to myself, he's in hell because of me. Tears running down his face. Nothing he can do about it. He just weep and cry and said, Keith, I never told him. Never, ever told him about Jesus. He said, he lived right behind me and I never told him about Jesus. So how do you respond to that? I don't know. I walked down the streets one day and I seen an old boy. I'd done a U-turn to come back to him. Boy, he had old, nasty, tattered and torn clothes on and long, nappy hair. It looked like it hadn't been combed in 6 months. I pulled back up to him, boy, and his teeth was all rotted out and gone. Face had a look of death on it. He's younger than I am, and he looked like he was 50 years old. My heart began to break. And I witnessed to him, and he rejected Christ, and I went home with tears in my eyes and sadness in my heart. You see, why is that? Because that boy was one of those that looked up to me, and he followed me right into that mess he's in. He was one that always come down to the pool halls and always hang out at the tables where me and my buddies was at, because he knew that party was fixing to show up. He knew the routine. He knew we would shoot pool for a while and hustle these people out of their money, and then we'd all of a sudden disappear. And we'd go have our little wicked fun. And he wanted to be a part of that. He wanted to be just like me. And he did. And now he rejects the gospel, going to hell. So what is that? That's my fault. That's my fault. And he ain't the only one. It's my fault. He is in the shape he's in because of me. And I'll have to face that. You say, preacher, what can you do? What can I do? All I can do is tell him about Jesus. Tell him how God changed my life. And pray to God he'll follow me down this road just like he did down that road. But the sad part is that road's got a stronger hold on him than what this road does. Because he's got that old nature that enjoys that. Judgment's going to begin with us, church. Judgment's going to start right here. Judgment's going to come and look right straight in your face. And how horrible it is for you to face God with your sin, your wickedness. Just imagine that lost crowd. Just imagine what they're going to see when they stand there. See, when you face, even at the judgment seat of Christ, when you look in Jesus' face, you can still see mercy. Because you're saved. But at that great white throne judgment, when that lost crowd's come up before God and they see His face, there'll be no mercy. There'll be no grace. There'll be no compassion. There'll be no tears. It'll all be judgment. Judgment. Think about it. Next time you get out here in these streets and you see that lost person, you think about it. Judgment's going to begin at us with a chastening hand to God, the judgment seat of Christ. And if it's that bad for us, what about the lost? Let me say this while we come. Get the piano player to come. This morning I ask you to stand to your feet. I want to read you a verse of Scripture. Hebrews chapter number 9 and verse number 27 says this, "And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment." It's appointed unto men once to die, but then the judgment's coming. Let me ask you, first of all, this morning, if you're saved, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you been washed in that blood of Jesus? Listen, when it comes judgment time, there ain't but one thing God's looking for, and it's that blood. What have you done with my son? Is he your Savior? Have you accepted his payment for your sins? And then he's going to begin these sayings with the saved. And we'll know how you lived your life. This morning, if you're not saved, I encourage you to trust Jesus Christ. Well, why don't you turn loose of whatever it is that's keeping you from getting saved? You've been under conviction several times. Many times God spoke to your heart about going to hell, and you keep turning him away. Keep turning him away. Keep turning him away. Why don't you come and give it all to God? Let the Lord save your soul. Some of you, the Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. You understand that? That goes beyond being saved. Just because you're saved don't mean you're ready to meet God. But you're going to see him. You're going to face him. The judgment's going to come. And only you know how you're going to stand. So while we sing this morning, if you need to come to this altar, you come right on ahead and let God have his way. If you need to be saved, by all means, come and trust Jesus Christ this morning. What page, brother?